वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We will be resuming our Bhagavad Gita discussion. We have entered into the 13th chapter. Arjuna asked about the knowledge of both the subject and the object, also called in other words, Kshetram and Kshetrajna. Everything that we experience is a Kshetra, and the experiencer is the Kshetrajna, the knower of this world. So, Bhagavan had said, the body, the mind, this entire universe is a Kshetra. What is a Kshetra? A land that can be cultivated. And this body, mind, this world has only one purpose. It is a Kshetra. What is the cultivation? Two things we discussed. Prayas or Shreyas. First prayas, then Shreyas. First worldly happiness, then spiritual happiness. That is why the entire Veda deals only with these two things. Dharma, Artha, Kama alone can give true happiness, true worldly happiness. And secondly, it also purifies the heart. One who follows Dharma, that is also called in a way Karma Yoga. Through that, one's heart will be cleansed. One's heart will become very sharp. Then he understands. He develops discrimination, develops dispassion and mind control to some extent. And such a person understands everything is not valuable excepting God realization. So when a person attains to that, then his whole attention will be turned towards spirituality, which is called Shreyas. And once a person through this Shreyo Marga attains the goal, which is to know that I was never a limited being, I was never a limited consciousness, I was ever the Paramatma, universal self. I am Brahman, in other words. Such a person will be free forever and he will become happiness itself. That is the goal. But there are certain spiritual disciplines have to be practiced. And from the verse 8 to verse 12, in 5 shlokas, in this 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna is expounding a few of that qualities. Now, before we go further, we have to understand something very important. It's not that every chapter of the Gita is telling something new. What has been expounded as sthita prajna lakshana, the characteristics of a realized soul, at the end of the second chapter. Same thing is being enumerated in different words. But in this particular 13th chapter, since we are studying, there are 20 such qualities have been given. In the 8th verse, we have 9. In the next 3 verses, 3 in each verse. That means 9 plus 9, 18. And in the last, means 12th verse, there are 2. Total, there are 20 spiritual characteristics or gunas we have to develop. Only when we develop, that leads really to spiritual illumination and no other way. Our Ajnana can be removed only after developing these 20. The next point I also mentioned many times, whether we want to develop good quality or evil quality. They always come in gang. Nobody can become evil with one evil quality. For example, somebody wants to rob. Then that person has to be fearless. Even if police catch, I don't care. Even if they hang me as a result after being caught, then I have to be ready. That kind of courage to accept the responsibility and the consequences. Without that quality, such person will not be able to do. Why is it most of us wish to rob many things? Don't say such thought never enters into our minds. Many of us would like to possess many things, but we do not dare to rob or to steal or many times to tell lies, not because we are spiritual aspirants, because we are cowards. We have no courage, like some of these wicked people, to do wicked deeds. But if a person is wise, intelligent, discriminative, he will deliberately avoid these things. The greatest source of happiness is God. So if I can get God, obtain God, or even better, become God, then forever my problems will be solved. Temporary solving of the problems is another name for worldliness. Permanent solving of problems so that there will be no problem and no topping up and no reinforcement, that is called spiritual realization. So the Lord is telling, enumerating, we will take up one by one. First we will read these 8th to 12th. Amanitvam, Adambhitvam, Ahimsa, Shantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Atma Vinigraha. In this 8th shloka, there are 9 spiritual characteristics are explained. Indriyartheshu Vairagyam, Anahankarayavacha, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. In the 9th, there are 3 characteristics. Asaktihi Anavishvangaha, Putra Dara Grihadishu, Nityancha Samachittatvam, Ishta Anishta Upapattishu. In the 10th, there are again 3 characteristics. Mayi Chananya Yogena, Bhaktihi Avyabhicharini, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam, Aratihi Janasamsati. Here also, 3 further characteristics. Adhyatma Gnana Nityatvam, 1. Tattva Gnana Artha Darshanam, 2. Etad Gnanam Iti Proktam, Agnanam Yat Ataha Anyatha. In this 12th one, 2 characteristics have been given. Humility, modesty, non-violence, forbearance, and uprightness. Service to the teacher, purity, steadfastness, and self-control. These are the English meanings of the 8th verse. Dispassion towards sense objects, absence of ego, perception of the evil in birth, death, old age, sickness, and pain. This is the essence of the 9th verse. Non-attachment, non-identification of the self with children, wife, home, and the rest, unvarying evenness of mind in the midst of both agreeable and disagreeable events. And these are the 3 in the 10th verse. Unswerving devotion to me, to God, through constant meditation on non-separation, resorting to solitude, aversion to the society of men. 11th verse, 3 characteristics. Constancy in the knowledge of the self and an insight into the object of the knowledge of truth. This is declared to be knowledge, and all that is contrary to it is called ignorance. 2 characteristics in this 12th verse. Now, let us take up. So, what is the subject? The subject of jnana, knowledge. What is jnana or knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge? Here, knowledge means not the resultant knowledge, but practice knowledge of those principles, those characteristics, adhyatma lakshanas, through which alone we can get atma jnana, the instruments through which we can finally obtain Brahman. That is the meaning of jnanam here. So usually the word jnanam means, so I am studying a subject. A physicist is studying an atom, and as a result of this study, he will obtain all knowledge that is possible of that atom. This is what generally we mean by knowledge. But here, that is not the meaning. The physicist must first of all study physics, understand what is physics, then he must develop concentration, he must develop the ability to understand abstract ideas of physics. Then he must have perhaps certain instruments like microscope, like telescope, etc., etc. And all these things is what is called preparing oneself. That preparatory knowledge is the real meaning of the word knowledge used here, preparations. Knowledge is expounded here through the means of knowledge. So how do we get to real spiritual knowledge? We have to develop certain moral qualities and virtues. And when we develop, these virtues lead to knowledge, that means Atmajnana, mentioned here in this shloka. So we have to develop such qualities, and they have to be after understanding what the qualities which lead us to that Atman realization finally has to be practiced. So theoretical knowledge of what is Viveka, what is Vairagya, what is Maishamadi Shatka Sampatti, what is Mumukshutvam, etc. That is being mentioned here. That's how we have to understand it. But theoretical knowledge is not enough. Once we know, this is what we have to do, then we have to practice them. And these are the most unavoidable spiritual qualities without which Atmajnana, knowledge of Atman, can never be obtained. So theoretical knowledge, etc. So let us take one by one from the 8th verse. Amanitvam, Adambhitvam, Ahimsa, Shantihi, Arjavam, Acharya Upasanam, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Natma Vinigraha. 9 spiritual qualities. What is the first one? Humility. So humility, Amanitvam. What is Manitvam? Manitvam means a person, every person has been endowed by God with some special knowledge. Some may be very good cook, some may be very good scientist, some person may be very good astronomer or musician or poet or statesman or painter or sculptor, or somebody has wonderful interpersonal, specialist in interpersonal relationship. Some people can become great negotiators. They know how to calmly bring two bickering subjects together, establish peace between them. Anybody and everybody cannot do like that. All these qualities are there. There are people, great scholars, great musicians, great scientists, great speakers, great writers, and great teachers. So many people have got. But what is the problem? The problem is, first two problems are there. First of all, most of these people do not realize that what greatness they are manifesting in themselves doesn't belong to them. It belongs to God. That's why in the Chandi, this beautiful concept is given. That's why I am quoting it here. Suppose somebody is like Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, very compassionate soul. He is not only Vidyasagara, he is also Dayasagara. Sri Ramakrishna went to visit him, and he also used to visit well-known pundits, etc. But most of them, in any case, never acknowledged the greatness of Sri Ramakrishna, at least upon the first meeting. Some devotee questioned Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, why do you go to meet them? They do not appreciate you. They do not respect you. They don't even show you proper respect." Then he said, "I am not going to be respected by them. I see the Divine Mother is present in them in a greater degree than in anybody else. If I don't go and show my respect to them, it is like my insulting my Divine Mother. So I am going to see my Divine Mother, of course manifest in the particular, that speciality in that very particular person." So Sri Ramakrishna realized, he is only reinforcing what we studied at the very end, practically, of the 10th chapter. Yadyad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjitamevava tatva deva avagachatvam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Wherever, O Arjuna, you see any excellence in any person, even in any river, any mountain, any animal, any tree, any insect, you have to know that it belongs to me. I am only manifesting myself in them. Coming back, I mentioned the name of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. He was a person of great compassion. But who is that compassion? Where from it is coming? That is where Chandi gives us the clue. Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Dayarupena Samsthita. She who is manifesting in every creature in the form of compassion. It is astounding to see how true it is. There are animals who protected other animals. There was a YouTube video that one leopard has protected the young one of a deer. And there are dogs which protect their natural prey. And there are cats who are protecting birds, especially when they have given birth, and protecting their own young ones. These unusual friendships we get in photographic evidence. Who can understand? We rarely understand what the animals are. There also, there is understanding, there is compassion, there is kindness, there is sharing. Everything is there, like human beings, sometimes even better than human beings. So what are we talking about? That when anybody has got some capacity, some special power is manifesting, he should not become self-advertising person. I am a great person. I am a great musician. I am a great poet. I am a great scholar. No, sir. It is only God's grace, Divine Mother. It belongs to her, and she is manifesting. Manitva means a person who has some really worthy quality is called a mani. He is the person who possesses something, but what does he do? He become bloated with egotism. I am a great musician. I am a great scholar. I am the greatest powerful man. I am the prime minister, etc., etc. And even though a person has got all these wonderful, what is called special powers within himself, always constantly be self-aware. This is not me. I do not have anything. It is the Divine Mother who had given me. So I must use it in the service of other people. And in other words, one must never allow one's boastfulness, egotism, ahankara to come out. He will, on the contrary, constantly acknowledges that God alone is the doer. Everything belongs to God. My body, my mind, everything belongs to God. This entire universe also belongs to God. It is He who is manifesting. There is really nothing great. Naham, naham, tuhu, tuhu. Sri Ramakrishna very much emphasized this, that every devotee must develop this spiritual quality. I am nothing. I am your creature. And whatever I have also belongs to you, O Lord. This is called humility. And only it is said, a person who is humble, he alone can get more and more. Sri Ramakrishna's favorite saying, rainwater does not accumulate in high mounds, only in lowly places. We all know, as soon as water falls on earth in the form of rain, immediately it flows to low places and gets accumulated there. So, a person with egotism is like that high mound, hillock, it doesn't stay at all. Even though rain rains on high hills, etc., but rarely we see there such type of things. Where there is no humility, so there would be no knowledge. Where there is knowledge, always there would be humility. Vidya dadati vinayam. Humility comes with true knowledge. Otherwise, it is half-baked knowledge, etc. So, amanitvam is the absence of manitva. That means the egotism, the boastfulness, the possessiveness. Now, why should we develop this quality? Because certain problems are there. If a person is highly conscious that I have these qualities and is bloating with egotism, the moment somebody doesn't acknowledge that person, he becomes very hurtful. He becomes hurt. Nobody respects me. Are God has given you. He is manifesting to you. You should be very happy. You should be very humble. And you should think and thank God. Oh Lord, instead of giving it to others, you have chosen to keep this knowledge with me. I am so thankful. I would like to use it for other purpose. The man or the person with egotism is called mani. Mani means bloating with egotism, because he has got certain quality, is one who wants to constantly, wants to make his virtues known to others and then demands to be respected by them. The person has got qualities, but why should he think that other persons should acknowledge him? In fact, most people have no need to acknowledge him. For example, here is a musician and here is a donkey. Does the donkey respect this person because of his musical knowledge? The donkey will only respect two things. If the man is kind and feeds the donkey with good food, then it starts loving him, respecting him. Or he must have a big stick, which again the donkey respects him. How can a donkey cognize the musical talent of anybody? Suppose there is a poor person and he goes to a rich person, and the rich person happens also to be a great musician. Now, is the rich person to be compassionate only if this poor person has to appreciate his musical knowledge? The poor man's main problem is not lack of music, is not coming for music, is coming to fill his stomach. So if he can, this man can donate some money, feed him properly or give him some money, that would be appreciated. So there are people with different, what is called, requirements. Such people, they only seek how their requirements can be fulfilled. They don't go to others to appreciate other people's what they specially are wanting to exhibit from themselves. Next point we have to understand is, supposing someone doesn't respect, say, a great musician, a great poet, does it mean to say the person is not having that great quality? Where is the need for you? You know that you have that quality. You should be humble and acknowledge it is God's gift, and you should use it in the service of other people. Whether other people respect you or not, you should not bother. Next point, if this person who has some special talent is really boastful of this thing, but if he is a discriminative person, immediately will come to know, I got it either through my guru's grace to God's grace, it must be used. So such a person, he will try to appreciate other people's qualities. A person who is immersed in only preening himself because of his own qualities rarely appreciates other people's qualities. So if you don't appreciate other person's good characteristics, he will also not bother. This is called selfishness. We are only absorbed in our own selfishness. We are not looking at the good side. That's why Holy Mother's advice, if you stop finding others' faults, and you will find that very fault is making you understand other people's faults. So if that fault was not within you, you will never be able to know other people have that kind of fault. So if a person is egotistic, he will see egotism in other people. If a person is boasting, he will always say about the other persons, they are boasting. Thereby, this person is harming only himself. Everything has to be valued only in this way, in a spiritual way, that is, acknowledging it is a gift of God. The whole world belongs to God. He also belongs to God. This special knowledge that I have also belongs only to God, to Mother Saraswati. If we have succeeded in developing this, that is called humility will come. What is humility? God has given. He who has given can also take it away. In 1 second, it can be taken away. There was a real incident. There was a musician, and in his youth, he was struck with a throat disease. I myself have seen that. There was a young woman who could sing so beautifully, so well, and after some time, a throat trouble had come, and she could only whisper. And then, of course, I don't know what happened, but in a well-known musician, this has happened. For many, many, many years, he could not even open his mouth. How much suffering he had to go through, only God knows. But I believe in recent times again, he had regained, slowly regaining his voice and able to sing to some extent, may not be to the former aspect. Then here is a great lesson. A humble person, if he has got a great talent, he will start respecting himself. Why? Not because I am an egotistic personality, because I am so proud. God has chosen me as his chosen instrument and has bestowed upon me this special something I am so proud because I belong to God and my devotion to God also increases. This is called respecting myself. When I respect myself, I don't care whether others respect me or not. So this is what is called amanitvam. Then the second quality is adambhitvam. What is amanitvam? A person has got tremendous great qualities, but he is humble, he acknowledges God's gift, and he is glad to use it in the service of other people. Whereas a dambhika is a person who doesn't have anything excepting words. I am a great man, I can do this, I can do that. He is constantly trying to brainwash himself. I am a great man. Nobody acknowledges him as a great person without having one single worthwhile quality. He goes on wanting the whole world to praise him. And this is what Shankaracharya calls, you know. Shankaracharya is telling, Dambha is declaring one's own glories in a loud voice, which one doesn't have. Unlike a manitva, it is demand, this dambha is demanding to be respected without any qualification whatsoever. So, this is the opposite quality. A devotee, of course, he should be humble. What is the humility? Oh Lord, I am nothing, I have nothing. Even if I have something, it comes from you, it doesn't belong to me. So the glory goes only to you. I mentioned also in my last classes, at the end of the puja, in the Ramakrishna order and everywhere, people do aratrikam. Aratrikam is done with five items. First, light is shown, then water is offered, then cloth is offered, then flower is offered, and at last, God's image or photo is fanned. Now, what is the symbolism of all these? All these five stand as representatives of Panchabhutas, five elements, and this whole world is made up of the five elements, and these five elements are the manifestation of Atman. Therefore, the whole world is nothing but the manifestation of the Atman. So, when a devotee, a pujika, a worshipper, if he had done worship properly, he will be endowed with that knowledge. Everything, this whole universe belongs to you. And I, who am in this universe, also belong to you only. The whole universe is the outcome of the mixture of these five elements. I am also one object among the myriads of worldly objects. Everything is made up of Panchabhutas. I am also made up of Panchabhutas. So Lord, I have nothing to offer to you. Even I cannot offer myself, my body, mind, because they already belong to you. This knowledge is expressed in the form of aratrikam. That is what is. There is a funny way of understanding it also. You see, in North India, many people I have heard saying, that is, instead of saying arati, they say arti. Now, arti is going to start. So, arti means distress actually. So, if we do not acknowledge this simple fact, which fact? The whole world is nothing but it belongs to God. So, I also belong to God. If we do not have that knowledge, then we are called ajnanis, ignorant people. And being ignorant that the greatest misery comes, then this, it becomes arti. We have to do everything me and I have to suffer. Arti means suffering. Sharanagata Dina Artha Paritrana Parayana. Artha means distress. So we have to understand the difference between Aratri, Arati, Aratrikam and Arti. Arti is distress, remember. Aratrikam is the acknowledgement that everything belongs to God. First of all, I have to accept myself. Why? Because this is how God made me. This is how my parents have made me. So if I love my mother, I love my father, then I have to be very happy. And incidentally, psychologically, this is the greatest spiritual progress we can ever attain. If the first thing to be happy, whether a person is worldly or spiritual, is to accept, this is what I am, this is my body, and this is my mind. I should not compare myself. Am I ugly? Am I idiot? Am I having less intelligence? No. This is what God has given me, or I made of myself through my own karma. This is the capacity of my mind. And there are people with varying degrees of intelligence, much higher than me, or there are people much lower than me, but I will not compare myself with others. I'll be eternally grateful to God. Whatever God has given me, that He knows. For this child, this body is enough, this much intelligence is enough. Let me use this body and this mind, this intelligence, this jnanam, to love God, to move forward. So a devotee must develop that attitude. Do you have special qualities? Yes. Then no, they came from God. So be humble. You don't have any special qualities, then be humbler still and say, oh Lord, you did not give me, so you decided for some reason, and whatever you decided is for my own good. So let me never have any pain, any suffering that others are not acknowledging me, respecting me, or giving me honor, etc. If we develop these qualities, we are sure to progress in spiritual life. Then the next quality is called ahimsa. Swami Vivekananda said, ahimsa is absence of jealousy. Because the subtlest form of hurting others, injuring others, manifests in the form of jealousy. And the speciality of jealousy is, we won't be jealous of our enemies. We only become jealous of people closer to us, our brothers, our sisters, sometimes even parents become jealous of their children, it is said, though rare. There are people who are also jealous of their friends, most often. I don't have this. Why does my friend have this one? So this, the simple remedy for that is, this person deserved. Nobody can get anything that is not deserved. Everybody gets what he or she deserves. So my friend deserved it. That means he had paid for it. He worked for it. He has a right for it. I did not work for it, therefore I don't have it. If I want it, let me work for it. This is the only remedy. So, the desire to harm others, to hurt others, to obtain what belongs to others, to appropriate others' property, all these come under the umbrella of ahimsa. So, ahimsa is not to hurt anything, either living or non-living. It may come as a surprise. Can we do ahimsa to something that is what we call inert thing? Can we do himsa to a mountain? Yes. You can remove all the, you can go on digging the stones and then making a mountain a plain ground and using it as cement or as bricks, as for walls, etc. You can cut down forests and then it is like a person who is upturning his face complete 90 degrees and spitting into the sky. The spittle falls only on that person. Today the scientists unilaterally declare that all the environmental pollution that we created is human beings' creation. That's why the glaciers are melting and then huge millions and billions of tons of hard glacier is becoming water and thereby raising the levels of the sea and inundating cities near them. And it is going to happen even more. And how much environmental climate is changing because of our disturbing, cutting down forests, etc. And how much ill health it is bringing upon all of us. This is being highlighted by scientists everywhere. Only stupid people, idiots, evil people, they neither understand nor acknowledge nor do something to bring back, to make our own lives much more happy, etc. So, ahimsa, the one of the greatest things. That is why Patanjali Rishi, as a part of the Yama, the very first thing is ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, aparigraha. Very first quality, anybody who wants to happiness in this world has to develop is ahimsa. Everywhere ahimsa is declared as paramodharmaha. So what is this ahimsa? Not hurting anybody by either by thought or by word or by even an action, much less an action. Sometimes a word can hurt a person so much, he can kill or he can commit suicide. Words are so powerful, sometimes more powerful or many times more powerful than even external actions. So, ahimsa is not hurting any living or non-living creatures. And this ahimsa starts very peculiarly with our own body. Let us never do himsa to our body. Perhaps some of us are surprised. Do we do injury to our body every day from birth to death? Not really. As soon as we get a little bit of understanding, a little bit of independence, say at the age of 5 or 6, starts our himsa. What is this? Overeating is himsa. Oversleeping is himsa. Overactivity is himsa. Not studying scriptures is himsa. And wasting time on useless entertainment is himsa. How much time we are spending doing harm to our body and our mind through our wrong habits developed. We sleep late. We get up late. We eat. We eat fast food. We do so many things that are hurting our body. In its turn, the body hurts the mind. In its turn, this body-mind complex hurts the neighbors, the families, and then the towns, the countries. How many people are non-patriotic? They sell their own motherland to foreign countries who are ever ready to hurt the other countries, not understanding. So everything belongs to God. If I hurt any person, if I hurt any country, if I hurt any religion, ultimately, the thunderbolt, the lightning is going to come and strike me and destroy me. This is the karma siddhanta. So if we harm others, and that will come and then hurt us a thousandfold. If we do good, then we get in return bountiful of fruit a thousandfold. So that is how, first of all, let us say, am I trying to be healthy? Am I trying to enjoy myself? First to health, then comes enjoyment. So let us try to improve our body. Who says? Upanishad says. Who says? Just now we discussed. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. Balahinena na labhyaha. A weak person cannot attain. Weakness in body, weakness in intellect, weakness in morality, of course, weakness in spirituality. Weakness in any particular form has to be assiduously avoided. And then strengthening the body through exercise, through proper diet. Same rule applies also where to remove all weaknesses of the mind. What is weaknesses of mind? Negative thoughts or thoughts that pull us down, pull us away from God. Swami Vivekananda had contributed tremendous to the storehouse of knowledge of the world. Some of his definitions are unheard of and most wonderful. And defining dharma, Swami Vivekananda says, that action which takes us nearer to God is dharma. And that action which takes us further away from God is called adharma. So a weak body takes us away from God. Just as a weak person cannot progress further if he is trying to walk, much less climb a hill or a mountain. Similarly, the mind also, a weak mind, intellectually weak and aesthetically weak and morally weak, and finally, of course, the combination of all these things, spiritually weak. So let us begin with our body and mind. That's why Swamiji himself said that I want muscles of iron and nerves of steel and the mind which is made up of the same, which is made up of thunderbolt. So if we can develop them, then that is the way to realize God. Nahyamatma pravachanena nalabhyaha namedhaya na bahuna shrutena. We have to develop swadhyaya, tapas, satyam, brahmacharya, samyajnana, and only through them we can realize. So ahimsa, and very, very noticeably, every sannyasi, every monk who takes sannyasa diksha, has to take away vow. Abhayam sarvabhutebhyo. That is, I give fearlessness to every being on earth. I will not hurt others and I will not be frightened of others. Let no creature be frightened of me. So it is said, if there is a great rishi somewhere in an ashrama, then we find that even born enemies like a tiger and a deer, they live in the utmost friendly atmosphere. It is said in the life of Shankaracharya that he wanted to establish his spiritual ashrama, searching for a suitable place. And at some place, he found out that a ferocious cobra was at midday protecting a female frog who was about to give birth to a baby. If a born enemy like the ferocious snake, cobra, and the frog can behave as if they are mother and daughter, then that there must be some tremendous spiritual vibrations here. So that is what we acknowledge now. The Sringeri Matha was thus established. Abhayam sarvabhutebhyo. But it doesn't mean always we have to practice. Remember the story of the snake and brahmachari. You hiss, do not use your venom. Hiss, protect yourself. But there comes a time when a person grows spiritually, not only he will not hiss, whatever the others do, the people will acknowledge it as the loving grace of God. That is why it is said of Pavahari Baba, once he was bitten by a very ferocious scorpion. It was extremely painful. And when asked about it, Pavahari Baba, it seems, replied, "Message from the beloved. God had chosen, deigned to show his grace to me today in the form of this scorpion by stinging me ferociously." That is the view, but only after developing. Another point we have to understand is, this ahimsa is fine. This Gandhiji's non-violence is fine. But in many countries, it will not be practical at all. If it is necessary, every spiritual person must be prepared not only to hurt, not only to injure, but to kill not even one person, not only one person, but if necessary, kill many, many, many people. What are we talking about here? If an inimical country declares an adharmic war, as Bhagavan Krishna warns Arjuna, this kind of yuddha you can never avoid excepting under dire negative consequences to you. Because protecting the people is one of the characteristics of kshatras. It's kshatriyas like you. It is your dharma. If you do not do it, you will be adharmic. That's why even though Bhagavan Krishna is telling us to practice ahimsa, his advice to Arjuna was that tasmat yudhyasva, then we get ready for this yudhya. But with yoga yuktaha, what is the yoga? I mean instrument, and this is a dharma yuddha. For the establishment of dharma, I will try my level best, but I will not try to injure anybody for the sake of my own pleasure, my own selfishness, but for the good of all, for the welfare of all, for the happiness of all. I am prepared to die and I am prepared to take other people for the good of all. That should bahujana hitaya, bahujana sukhaya. Ahimsa is a very dynamic concept and it had to be interpreted at different times in different ways. The teacher must be ready to punish the people, not because to take revenge upon the peoples, but if that is the only way to make the student a better student. A surgeon must be prepared to cut off any number of limbs of the patient if necessary, not out of anger or a thought of destruction, but to save the patient from untimely, painful type of death. So everything, every good quality has to be thought over very carefully, discriminatingly. Then a real spiritual person's mental attitude, as we are discussing, externally, you may have to observe non-injury. You should never hurt anybody. That depends upon what is the situation, what is your progress in spiritual life. So mentally, the concept of ahimsa should be all pervasive. There is no room for himsa there at all. If a warrior does ahimsa, it is an external action, but mentally he is doing it for the welfare of even the person whom he is going to kill. See that beautiful story. Here is a person and he is hell bent upon killing some children who are playing nearby. Then another person sees and there is a danger, he himself might be killed because there are many weapons of destruction in that evil person. But this person should go forward and he should try to destroy that person, not out of personal revenge, but for the protection of those children, or it may be innocent men and women who are nearby. And not only it is not a reprehensible act, it is a commendable act. And people are given rewards, awards, or Padma Bhushanas. Some great respect is shown to these persons because they sacrificed their life. Bhagat Singh had to be hanged because he worked as an untiring patriot. The concept of ahimsa mentally should be uncompromising, all-pervasive. But outside how a person behaves, it depends upon from person to person, time to time, situation to situation, and also depending upon our own development. For example, if I am a sannyasin, I have no right really to hurt other people. But as I said, if I see a person who is about to injure either children or either bomb by bombing or innocent people, and if I have the capacity, I will not hesitate to kill him. And if I don't, then I am a culpable man, I am a criminal, I will be judged in front of God. You did not follow dharmic way of life. But there is another beautiful word we have to understand here. See, every spiritual aspirant, he wants to realize God. And that God is called Brahman. And that Brahman is everywhere. So when a person, even intellectually and morally, tries to see this Brahman, this God everywhere, this is called practicing the presence of God. When he is trying to practice the presence of God, naturally, a person whose mind is filled with thoughts of injury, himsa, can never see God. Both do not go together. Therefore, everything is God, but only if necessary, we have to prevent some people, or even either by preventing or destroying them, from hurting themselves and also from hurting other people. So with this knowledge of seeing Brahman everywhere, true ahimsa is to see God everywhere and to know if I hurt anybody, if I harm anybody, if I tell lies to anybody, or if I hurt anybody or steal anything, I am stealing from God himself. This is the beautiful truth about ahimsa, which is so pithily expressed in the first mantra of the Isavasya Upanishad. Isavasya medagam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. A whole universe is nothing but manifestation of Ishvara. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. Enjoy your life with this knowledge that everything is God. Ma gridaha kasya sviddhanam. Do not covet anybody's wealth. So this seeing God everywhere, not coveting anything, is called ahimsa. This is the great quality the person has to develop. From a negative point also, here is a person. Say if somebody hurts me, I feel hurt. Somebody lies to me, I feel hurt. If somebody steals from me and takes what belongs to me, I get hurt. Even by placing myself in the shoes of the other people, we have to practice ahimsa, because what I don't like others to do to me, I also should not do to others. What I like others to do to me, I have to do unto others. These are the beautiful concepts on ahimsa. Every spiritual aspirant must practice ahimsa. What is this ahimsa we are talking about here? Ahimsa, true ahimsa, is seeing God everywhere. When a person sees God everywhere, he is the happiest person, he is the greatest, wealthiest person on earth, he doesn't lack anything, so there is no need to run after anybody, any wealth, that the greatest wealth is paramam anandam. If a person is happy all the time, that is the greatest wealth. So that's why even for our own selfish purpose, which is we want to be happy, we want to be healthy, and we want to get right knowledge, ahimsa must be practiced in thought, in speech, and in action. So we talked about three beautiful qualities, amanitvam, dambitvam, and ahimsa. We will, these beautiful characteristics, spiritual characteristics, how much they are practically helpful, not because we want to realize God. Even a worldly person should practice these things if he wants to be happy and healthy. We will talk about these things in our future classes. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsajanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.